You're listening to episode 7 of the Oh Mama podcast with Libby and Jess. We want to be your new favorite mom friends, dishing on all the things: parenting, marriage, careers, and our latest television and Target obsessions. In this episode, we recap Thanksgiving, the flu, and our bad driving. We also dive into the wacky world of dating post-divorce with kids with Libby and Nick's love story. We're talking a personal dating service, first dates, red flags, networking, and ring shopping. Hey, everybody. You're listening to the
Oh Mama podcast
with Libby and Jess. I'm Libby.
And I'm Jess.
And we're two neighbors in Richmond, Virginia. And
we have a bunch of kids.
We do. We have 7 kids. I looked at a photo of my family from yesterday, and I'm like, why do I have such a big family?
Where's all these people come from?
Well, whose life is this? But I love it. It's so much fun having 4 kids. We're a blended family. We've been married for a couple years now. And my husband and I both work in corporate America, and I have my secret dreams of running my own businesses.
Oh, mama, mama, the drama's thick when you step in the swift. They like, oh, 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 mama, mama, the drama's thick when you step in the swift. You now ride with Libby and Jesse. You about to get yourself a little blessing. They got plenty of lessons and even more children. They got stress every day that's building and building, but they still keep it clear with a fresh point of view. And if you tuned in, you about to get a little bitty clue of what it's like to be a working mom with fashion, and to love your kids and God with plenty of passion, and realize what it's like to be working so hard that you don't even feel like you got time for your squad, or even to write a letter to your mom and your dad. And if you ain't feeling good, then maybe you feeling bad. Well, these two ladies here for you, and they coming through this microphone, whether you at work in your whip or if you right at home. I hope you subscribe and never hide from the truth. You now rock with the two illest ladies in the booth. Let's go.
Did you ever think you would have so many kids?
I don't know. I think, you know how you grow up and you're like, oh, well, I grew up with 2 kids in my family, so when I grow up, I want to have a big family. Like, you kind of, I feel like a lot of kids are like, I'm going to have a different experience when I'm older, you know? So it sounds fun, and you don't know what it really is like to have multiple, you know, lots of kids in the family. So you're like, that'll be fun, and you have no idea what it's like to be a parent. So I don't know if I would have had, I don't think I would have had 4 if I had just had 1 marriage. Yeah. Like, yeah.
I did read something like, parents of 4 say it's easier than parents of 3.
I think that's a lie.
Do you just stop caring? Are you just done?
Yeah.
Is that what that is?
Yeah, I think you just, I have heard that too, and
maybe that's not your experience.
It's not our experience. Like, if we have 1 less kid, we're like, well, that was significantly easier. You know? Like, it's just 1 less person. 1 less person to please and satisfy and meet their needs. Like, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean,
we've got 3 kids with our 1 marriage, and I feel like, even though in our head we'll think like, well, this kid's kind of easier in some ways, like the dynamic of the kids together brings challenges that, like, oh, you can never expect.
Right, right. So why would having like an extra one in the mix make that easier?
It's just this additional, like, I mean, it's a blessing. I feel like we're complaining.
Yeah.
Like, we love them.
It is a blessing, but it makes no like logistical sense why
it's a lot of work.
Having 1 less kid is somehow harder than having more kids.
Yeah.
It's got to be the parents themselves change their expectations.
It's got, yeah, your mindset has to shift. Or maybe you, like, look at your oldest child as, like,
your helper. Oh,
something.
For sure. I'm like, oh, Valley, what would I do without you being Jacob's second mommy and Emma and David's second mommy? So,
yeah, get in here now.
I know you're only 8, but I need you.
You know, I feel like we do that too.
Yeah.
I'm like, to earn your keep.
Yeah, I'm like, you enjoy being a little adult, don't you? Pretty sure we're both winning in this situation. No.
Yeah, well, I feel like the family relationships, and it all gets amplified over the holidays, and we're just coming out from, like, a big... I know you've had a lot going on in addition, but we've also just had our Thanksgiving holidays.
Yes. So. How was your Thanksgiving?
really nice. It was really nice. We don't host Thanksgiving because we're not capable of doing that.
Same here.
Truth be told.
Yeah.
So, like, we want to please everybody. We're kind of pleasers.
Okay.
So, like, my parents want us to come and have, and we want to, too, to have, like, time with them when, like, the Thanksgiving kind of week begins. Mm-hmm. So we drive up to New York on Monday night, and we get in at, like, 2 in the morning. And,
oh, my gosh.
You know, Baker was like, I really want to see Grammy and Papa. I was like, it's 2 in the morning, and they're sleeping. He's like, I just need to see it. So I took him into the bedroom, and he like, saw the 2 lumps in the snoring.
I was like, did you give them a heart attack when you walked in?
No, there's no waking. So he just kind of, his little mouth was, like, open. I was like, do you see they're sleeping? And he was like, okay. And then he went to bed. But so my point is that we got there, and we had some, like, New York time, and then we drove to Pennsylvania on Thanksgiving Day.
Okay.
Because my brother and his wife, my sister-in-law, were hosting.
Yeah.
And, you know, my niece and nephew were there. So it was, like, the big Thanksgiving Day. And then we slept over, and then on Friday we road tripped home. So it was just a busy week.
Yeah.
But we're not capable of hosting, so, like, this is the way it goes.
You put in the travel time so that you don't have to host.
I know. And my sister-in-law was making me, saying, like, well, maybe Pat can make his delicious broccoli. I was like, well, we can bring wine.
Like,
let's temper the expectations.
Doesn't he like to cook, though?
Well, he does like to cook, but he likes to cook, like, that day if it's, like, a fruit or vegetable. So it's like, we can bring the broccoli
and
we can
kitchen?
Make it there.
Yeah.
No, but she needs it to be, like, very orderly and efficient.
Oh.
It's, like, preparation beforehand. Like, our,
oh, my God.
Like, Pat's personality and Nareet's personality are almost polar opposites.
Oh, our Thanksgiving was a show. Like,
yeah,
it literally
what,
was.
What did you do?
So... I had had the flu the week before and then was, like, still sick the week of Thanksgiving. This is, like, a plug for everybody. Get the flu shot.
Did you not get the flu shot?
No, I did. I thought I still had time. And, like, literally it was so bad. And my dad was like, well, you can get multiple strains of the flu that I'm, like, going to go schedule and still get the flu shot so I can, like, avoid a second round. I didn't get the flu shot and I didn't get Tamiflu because I don't have a doctor. I don't know if you have
Pat,
a doctor,
you
but
have a doctor.
There's
what
no,
you
there's
living?
No time. The only doctor I've had is my OBGYN. So I was like, well, she prescribed me Tamiflu when I was pregnant, but I don't know if she'll do it for me now.
Mm.
Although looking back in hindsight, I feel like I should have tried. So I just, like, was waylaid. Nick didn't get sick. The kids, like, bounced back. I'm not even sure if anybody but David. David had the flu.
And
I don't.
He had the flu shot.
And he had the flu shot, and he had Tamiflu, and the other kids at least had a virus. So now I am recovering from just, like, the normal cold. So I had the flu and the cold, but on the positive side, I feel like the Devil Wears Prada, where my pants are fitting better now.
After double plague, everything fits so
I was
well.
Like, nothing that sounded good to eat, and I slept a lot. And then I told you that... the first time I had to leave the house to drive the kids to school, I got in a car accident. Like, I literally, it wasn't, and I don't know if I would say it is a car accident, but I was coming up to this stoplight, and I basically hit a car with my mirror, my side mirror, and it made this, like, loud noise. You know, it always sounds so loud. It was like, thud, and I was like, oh, no, what was that?
Like, were you in the car by yourself?
Oh, no, the kids were in the back of the car. I was taking them to school. I was like, did I just hit something? They were like, yeah. So I had to get out. And I'm just, like, wearing a coat, like, still totally sick. And I'm like...
Do you have a parked car?
No. I mean, they were, like, parked waiting to turn. So I was like, hey. And the lady, like, tries to shake my hand. I was like, don't shake my hand. I have the flu. Like, I shouldn't even be out in public.
She tried to shake your hand after you hit her car?
She was like, are you an elementary school parent? I was like, yeah. She's like, okay, I'll just look you up. And I was like, oh, thank God. And then later she texted me. She's like, it's fine. My
was
car
it another elementary
Yeah, parent? Another elementary school parent.
And her car was fine?
Her car was fine.
Did your car...
Well, the mirror, the fancy mirror that has the light that tells you if, like, a car is coming, which
well,
is super handy.
Did.
It's not working anymore.
Right.
Well, it doesn't tell you if you're about to hit a car.
My parents' car is like for the 75-year-olds. Like you get in there and it's like, you're close, you're close. It's like it has all these bells and whistles. Like it has like 10 million mirrors.
I mean, I was...
You need the Volvo for the elderly.
Yeah, I do. I don't know if it would have helped. Like I was just like going slowly and just like, you know, like... Too, like, fogged in my head to even, like, have the spatial recognition to know that.
I'm really good at hitting parked cars.
I feel like this car is just too big for me. We love the Traverse, but it's too big.
Well, I feel like it's just hard to drive. I don't know. For me, I'm not the best driver, and I had the girls in the car with me over the summer. We went to, like, it was July 4th, and we went to Elwood Thompson to get something. I don't really know what. And we, it was really hot out, and I thought I was, like, pulling into the spot.
Uh-huh.
And I, like, suddenly I'd realized that I'd been in, like, an accident. You know how it's, like, it, like, registers? Like, I was like, what just happened? And I realized I misjudged the, like, the turning radius.
Oh, very easy to do. And I've done that.
Smashed the back of this, Subaru.
Porsche. No, like, you were in the fence. This is why I shop at Kroger.
Well, this lady was, like, the nicest lady. She got out of, it was, like, she was, like, a little bit older, and she had her little groceries from the health food shop, she sees that I'm standing there, like, after clearly having hit her parked car, and she was just like, oh, dear, I'm sure that's not what you wanted to have happen on July 4th. I was like, I just hit your car. Like, I'm the one that's sorry. And Dylan's in the car, like whispering, like, don't admit blame.
Don't admit fault.
It's not your fault, Mom. And then she's like, and I'm not getting out of the car because I don't want to get murdered today. And it's like 100 degrees.
Murdered?
I don't know where. I think she's watching. We let them watch too much television. And I was like, you know, we're admitting faults. You're not going to, like, fry in the car. Like, it happens. But then after that, there was, like, every time I'd go anywhere, Pat and the girls and everyone would be like, are you able to drive today?
Dude.
Like,
yeah.
I'm trying.
When I'm tired, it's not good. So we're drinking Hardywood Lost Bird white wine. What a perfect name for us to be drinking, I feel like.
I feel like we're the lost birds tonight.
I don't know what the red wine was, but we taste tested them both, and we decided that we were feeling the white wine tonight. Is it like Chardonnay? It tastes like Chardonnay.
I think
Is it a blend?
Yeah, okay. It's a shardy kind of.
Okay, so this is our local brewery that we discovered made their own wine in partnership with Barbersville Vineyards.
Which is in Charlottesville.
Near Charlottesville, like, yeah.
Their amazing winery.
Yes, so we're very excited that a brewery is offering wine for us non-beer drinkers, and Jessica is gluten-free.
And we hope this is the wave of the future.
Yes, we do hope this. Yes, and I am enjoying it.
It's good. It's mellow. It feels like a winter white. I don't know why. Maybe it's because it's like wintery.
I don't even know what you mean by that.
I don't know.
But I'll go with it. I like the sound of that. Winter white.
It's a winter white. Yes. It's good. Now we're just flat out drinking it.
Hold on.
Let's taste it.
My lid. I have one of those sippy cups for wine. You do too. But does your lid, does it close?
No.
Oh, I keep forgetting my little lid closes and I keep trying to drink it and having trouble. This is my souvenir from the Virgin Islands.
Ooh.
I clearly needed this to remind me of the Virgin Islands. My brewmate sippy cup for wine.
That's so nice. I got this sippy cup. So my children love drinking out of wine glasses.
Because who doesn't?
Because who doesn't? And I remember when I was their age, I would, like, drink my Diet Coke out of a wine glass and a snack on pretzels.
You were drinking Diet Coke at 8?
I always loved Diet Coke. And my parents were like,
"Are you Taylor Swift?"
So I got them these little like basically like wine tumblers. I'm like, "This is good for you guys." And they're like, "We love it." Pat's like, "What are you doing?"
But you're like, "It's a sippy cup. They won't spill."
And then I could borrow it.
That's perfect. It's a good idea.
Well, it's a cute little size for the bedside.
It is. And we decided you have the champagne.
Yes.
Tumbler sippy cup.
Yeah.
And so yours fits into cup holders, whereas mine does not, which can be a real downer in the car.
So mine is like a friendly for all ages.
Yes.
However, it does look very suspect if a younger person is drinking out of this.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, that's the thing now with stemless wine glasses. They're for everybody.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what about your Thanksgiving? You, like, had double play. Oh. You got to fit into your clothes again, and then...
Yeah, my clothes are fitting a little better. Jeans are a little more comfortable. I don't know. Thanksgiving is Nick and I's, like, Bermuda Triangle holiday.
Ooh.
I think that's the best way to describe it. I don't know. It's like, I feel like I should just hate Thanksgiving, but I don't. I mean, we still had good times, but...
What happened?
So when we were dating, we broke up right before Thanksgiving. Oh. And we were supposed to have Thanksgiving together. And literally, I'm on the phone, and I'm like, well, I guess this means we're not having Thanksgiving together. Like, duh. You know? And he's like, yeah. So we were broken up for like 2 weeks, didn't do Thanksgiving together. And then when we got back together right before Christmas, like, it was magical, and we got engaged at Christmas. And so, like, Christmas is wonderful and has all these wonderful memories. And, you know, since then we've been married and made good memories at Thanksgiving, but I don't know. It's like, it might be, I don't know if it's like, prefaced by we're gonna meet with all his family, and then my family comes, and like, there's all this pressure, but I feel like we always end up fighting at Thanksgiving, and like, we always go to his mom's house, and for some reason, before we go see his family, there's always like extra tension and fighting. I don't know why. I just feel like we're like kind
just
of like
Thanksgiving or like, yes, whenever,
kind of whenever.
Okay.
Yeah. I might be extra stressed. I'm not sure. Yeah. And then Thanksgiving is just like extra because we're going to see all the family. My family's also coming to be witnesses. And,
you do like the double.
Yeah. We have the double family. And then we, on top of that, we're supposed to be like bringing food, you know, which is like,
a lot of stress.
Yeah. So it just never fails. Like, every year I'm like, should we just skip Thanksgiving? Should we just stay here?
And do you ever think, like, maybe we should, like, do just the family?
Maybe we should.
I don't want to say the family, but the, you know, like, the core family.
Immediate? I don't know. I feel like we're obligated to bring Thanksgiving to our in-laws and parents.
I feel like that's the holiday, right? Like, Thanksgiving, like, you get your butt to some big table somewhere.
I mean, yeah. I feel like at Christmas, we have earned the right to finally say... We're not going anywhere at Christmas. We want to, like, set our own family traditions and, like, have our thing. And we don't want to, like, transport presents here, and everywhere. So we're not going to do that. But Thanksgiving, like, you can't say that.
So what did you bring to Thanksgiving?
Well, not much. Nick made a pie from scratch, an apple pie.
Wow.
The day before. And it was, like... the folklore of Nick's apple pie, and people have been, he's like, I made an apple pie once, you know, and he kept telling me about it, because when he was...
And don't you feel like if a woman made an apple pie once, they'd be like, sit down. Like, a man makes an apple pie,
yeah.
And I'll need to, like, get out
of, like, he house. Showed me pictures when we were dating, and I was like, oh, that's great. And so he's been talking about it, and so he finally made it this year. And I was like, well, I'm going to bring a salad and bread.
Perfect.
And literally, like, he'd gone to the store, bought the pie ingredients, but didn't buy anything for salad. So, like, we went the morning of, like, bought salad ingredients. Then we had all this, like, personal stuff going on with us, like, you know, arguing or whatever we're talking about. I have no idea. And so, like, I'm like, well, I guess I'll make my salad at your mom's house. So we're, like, throwing all this stuff into a bag. And he's like, just get out the door. Just get out the door to get to, you know, Williamsburg. Yeah. So I'm, like, just throwing all the salad ingredients in. I'm grabbing purses, whatever. And he's like, just go. And so I get in the car. And I thought I had looked at him and been like, I've got everything but the pie. And he grabbed the baby. And that's it. And so we left the pie.
Brutal.
And then, like, on the way there, I'm like, did you bring the baby bag? So we had no baby bag, no diapers, no wipes, no EpiPens for our two children with the tree nut allergies. And I was like, oh my gosh, I forgot the EpiPens. And then, like, 30 minutes later, Nick's like, do you have the pie? And I was like, I thought you had the pie. And we're like, oh no.
What did you do?
He stopped at 7-Eleven and bought some, like, Danishes.
That's painful.
And, yeah.
What about all the other stuff?
Thankfully my sister came, and so she had diapers.
Yeah. I was going to say, you can't have the only baby in the family.
And, the salad was fine, and I had rolls, so those were a hit. But yeah, I mean, basically, I mean, if we were getting graded or rated, I think we'd get like a C at best for our Thanksgiving performance. But,
I mean, what's it about, though? It's not about, I mean, I guess for some people it is about the food. I don't know. Maybe it's sort of about the food.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean,
ish.
Yeah. I was like, should we stop at the store and buy a pie? But yeah, I mean, this is just us, like, feeling like, how do we be functioning adults that are successful in life? Like, how do we leave the house and have what we need? And, like, the next day we went to the UVA Tech game, which was amazing. But as we're going to my parents' house to drop off the kids on the way to Charlottesville, Nick's like, I didn't get the tickets. And I was like, oh, no, it's okay. We'll just turn around and get them. Like, at least we remembered all our kids.
You know, we've started making notes where, like, one of us has to make the notes and then the other's, like, the holder of the notes. And before we leave, it's like we have to, like, review the notes because we've failed.
Is it, like,
so
a post-it
times.
That you put on the door? Like, what do you do?
Yeah, we've gotten to that level where, like, there's a post-it or, like, a short.
Of, like, this. When do you make the note?
When we're packing. Because we're, like, when we're packing, we're like, okay, let's make notes when we're packing. To make sure we don't forget some crucial thing to pack.
For tomorrow morning
and then
or whatever.
We have to stage as much as possible by the door, but not everything can be staged.
Okay.
So, like, there's the last minute, like, make sure we pack this that we, like, slam on the back of the door so we have to, like, look at it as we're leaving. Because
yeah.
We've been through so many iterations
of
forgetting things that are so important.
I know. I think for step one, we just need to remember to make a note.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, so should we do it, like, in the car? We get in the car, and we're like, what do we need for this trip, you know? But usually you're just like, oh, my gosh, everyone back on our calendar. We're
so
all in the
crazy.
Car. Let's just go because we're late.
Our first Thanksgiving, we drove up to New York, and, like, our tire, like, busted. Like, when we were about, I think about 20 miles from my parents' house in Long Island, and we were near my aunt and uncle's home in Queens.
Okay.
And we called them. We're like, we're kind of near your house, and we have a flat tire. And so
they were like, call AAA.
No, it was like 10:30. They're like, we'll be right there. And they came up, and my Uncle Julie was like, Pat, you don't know how to change a flat tire? And Pat was like, I'm sorry. Like, and Dylan was like,
what kind of man are you?
8 months old. And then Dylan was sobbing, and I wasn't
Dylan's
able
to. Dylan's, like, in the back shaking her head.
I know. We realized we forgot to pack formula, and
she
was, like, one that never latched.
Wait, you weren't still nursy?
I was, but I'd pump, so I had to, like, either figure out how to, like, pump and give her what I pumped. Or, like, so then my aunt was trying to distract her with, like, a turkey stuffed animal, and we're like, at least you brought that. Like, you guys are already killing it compared to us. But it really does bring out, like, your inner critic. Like, can I not do anything right?
I know. Nick was like, we're just failing as adults. So I'm like, but we have four kids. It's difficult.
Maybe we need to just think, like, everybody's alive. We're rocking it. Like,
we're rocking it. But I do think there's a thing to notes. And I think I've, like, looked at books on Amazon, like, that are all about just, like, making lists. And I feel like that would be helpful.
It makes me feel better at least putting it on paper. Whether or not I use the list, I feel like I did something putting it on
paper. I'm pretty sure before school started or before I got married, my dad was like, I don't know who he was referencing. I think he was referencing his personal doctor. But, you know, she's a doctor, so you're like, oh, that person is successful in life. They have
smart
a brain.
Girl.
Like,
yeah.
And he was like, she makes a post-it for, like, all the things her kids need in their backpack, you know, or, like, their lunch or whatever. Like,
nice.
this successful, functioning adult has, like, a post-it. Why don't you make post-its, Libby? And I was like, great. But anytime I try to, like, implement something like this, Nick is like, whoa. Are you implementing a new system? Like, we need to have a discussion about
this. We need
a
family meeting.
We need to have, like, a vote and a majority consensus before we need to do this. And I'm like, I'm just, you know, like, search, like, grabbing at straws.
To, like, everyone's satisfaction. Like,
yeah.
My girls did write this list of things they'll tolerate in their lunches, and I've been operating off of that list. So I, like, pack kind of meager, you know, it's a lean lunch, but I pack what's approved. And my mother-in-law was like, this is their lunch? And I just wanted to be like, I am trying my best.
Like, she watched you pack it and was like, this
she
is
was
what
like,
they got?
This isn't enough. I was like, I'm not enough.
We give our kids way too much food. They just throw it away.
Well, maybe they'll share it with my kids and then it'll be balanced.
Why are you doing, I swear, when I grew up, I had milk in a thermos, I had a dessert, a main thing, and a piece of fruit. So I had three things and a drink. Like, Nick is like, here's your extra, like, granola bar and chips, and, like, it's ridiculous.
So did they come home with most of it still intact?
Or? Well, only Valley does, because she doesn't throw away her trash. We're like, why don't you throw away your trash? That's a whole nother, like, issue.
What if I need it?
But Nick is like, he went on a field trip. He's like, yeah, I mean, Emma had all this food in her lunch, and she's like, I don't like any of it. And she'll just throw it away and not tell you that she doesn't eat any of it or like any of it, which is, like, a whole nother thing to, like, make you mad. But
my dad is the nicest lunch maker. When I was little, he would indulge every kind of obsession I would have. And for a while, I was like, all I want is Ritz crackers with jelly in the middle, like jelly Ritz sandwiches. And I would open my lunch, and there would be, like, a huge tinfoil tower of these, like, Ritz and jelly sandwiches. And nothing else. And I was like, this is the best lunch ever. Keep it coming.
Wait, so I would say to you, why aren't you doing the free lunches at the elementary school? Because at elementary school in Richmond, any kid who gets a lunch from the cafeteria, it's free. And so, I mean, I didn't think it, like, no one watching this, I didn't think it was, like, the healthiest, but I was like, at least they'll do it. But now with the tree nut allergies, we haven't done it because it's like,
who knows what's in there?
Yeah, I raised my hand and asked, but there was like, you gotta like call the office and go through extra steps. It wasn't like, oh, there will be, you know, labels with like tree nut, you know, allergy free. No, it was like, you gotta call the nurse and get a special menu and like order it or something. And I was like, well, that's a pain in the ass. I'm never gonna do that. But for your kids who don't have an allergy, like, I'd be all about that.
I had a good year where Dylan was like, I will do it. I will eat the free lunch.
Yeah.
And she did, and it was amazing. And sometimes when I'm like, I don't know what to feed you, she'll say, I'll just eat the lunch.
Okay.
I'm like, thank you. And Kara, I think maybe the origin is shyness, that she doesn't want to, like, get in line. But she's like, I just want you to make my lunch, Mommy. I just want you to make my lunch, Mommy. And she doesn't ask for anything. So I'm like, well, it's like a Yoplait and a little thing of peppers and whatever else I could figure out. And she's like, that's fine, Mommy. You know, and she writes me little notes like, thank you for being my mommy. I mean, what am I going to do? Like, no more yogurt for you. I think it's. But I want to revisit this whole thing because you kind of dropped a little nugget where you said that you and Nick broke up at Thanksgiving, and then you're engaged by Christmas?
Yes.
What?
Okay, well, it's hard. Dating is hard to begin with, right? Dating with three kids, like, having kids and dating is, like, way harder. I mean, I think, I don't know. It just is. And I was living with my parents at the time we were dating, so I was highly motivated to get out of the house and get married, right?
This better work.
Yeah. I was kind of like,
how did you find each other?
We found each other on Match. And I think we were probably like the last wave of people to do Match. I don't know. I mean, I'm thankful for Match. But we went on one date from Match, and I had just started dating again from getting divorced, and so I was, like, hyper, like, focused on, I need to find the red flags. Because, you know, when I got divorced, my parents, my sister, and whoever were like, well, you missed that. That was a red flag. That was a red flag, you know, with your ex.
Aww.
So, it, you know, like, poor judgment call on your part, Libby.
Good job, Libby.
Yeah, yeah. Like, we all could see that that wasn't the right call. But
nobody shared that with you.
Yeah, nobody shared that because, Libby, you wouldn't listen. My sister and my brother-in-law tried to speak up this time before. Like, when Nick was about to propose, they, like, interrogated him in the car one night.
This is straight out of, like, a Bachelor episode or something.
Yeah, yeah. It totally. Yeah, like, they go off and have the family discussion. So I appreciated that they said something. I don't know if that would have, like,
was it productive?
Changed the outcome at all. But at least they spoke up and, I guess, made their expectations clear to him, you know?
Did they do the, like, you better not hurt our girl thing?
I think so. Okay. I think it was, like, you better have, like, true intentions and, like, be in this for the long haul.
The right
reasons. Be a good
reasons.
Man, you know?
Yeah. Which he is.
He is. Yes, yes, yes. So, I forget where we were going with that, but we met on Match. We had a date. We had one first date. And
Did you know right away?
No. Well, it was a great first date, but Nick and I are both the type of people where we're very open, we're very extroverted, so I think both of us could, like, go on first dates and be like, do I like you, or am I just happy to be talking to another adult? You know what I mean?
It's great to get out.
Like, when you're a single parent, I mean, I lived with my parents, so I, like, the only people I was interacting with on a consistent basis was my mom and my dad. So, like, just to get out and talk to another adult my age socially, like, I could almost talk to anybody and have a good time. But I had fun talking with Nick, and it was very easy. We talked about everything, and I felt very comfortable. Do you want me to go into our first date?
Yeah.
Kind of humorous. Okay, so we had our first date, and, like, on the Match profile, you have to, like, say your, like, spirituality, and I think that, like, the choices were very generic. Like, they weren't religion specific, so it was like, I don't know, religious, spiritual, but not religious. I don't know, like, some middle of the road thing.
Yeah.
And then, like, I don't know, nothing. And so I think Nick probably chose the middle of the road option. And so he tells it that, like, in the middle of the conversation, I'm just like, so I'm a little confused about your profile. Like, is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? And he was like, oh, he's in my top three. And I was like, what do you mean by that?
My top three?
Yeah.
Like with Buddha and Moses? Or like
something like that.
Common?
Yeah. He was like, I'm still searching. I'm on a journey. And to be, like, totally honest, that wasn't even, like, the red flag that I was like, I'm pretty sure that's a red flag that I shouldn't ignore. So, okay. I mean, there was that I was like,
because that's pretty important to you.
Yes, my faith is very important to me. So I definitely was looking for somebody who was a Christian like myself. But then he talked about, I mean, everything. Like, more than you should talk about on a first date.
You're like, what happened with your ex person?
Yeah, he talked about his parents and their history and, like, his history. And we probably both said way too much for a first date.
Where did this date occur?
We were at the Can Can.
I love Can Can.
Yeah, just this local restaurant
in Carytown.
In Carytown. We met really late. I had one glass of wine, and then I don't know what I said. I probably said, I feel like a burger, and he's like, do you want to change locations? And I was like, I've had a glass of wine. I can't drive under this condition, and I'm not getting in the car with you, so we're going to stay here. We just sat at the bar. Oh, yeah, they had good burgers. I think I did get a burger, which was, like, totally awkward to eat, but again, I wasn't, like, self-conscious. I felt very comfortable. He was really fun to talk to. It was really easy to, like, click with him. So it was a great date, but, like, as he divulged a whole heck of a lot of personal information, I was like, well, that must be a red flag. That must be one. Like, I'm not going to screw this up this time, you know?
I'm going to find these red flags,
gosh darn it. And it was, like, one of my first dates back in the dating scene, so I was kind of like, I need to find the red flag. So I think I conveyed the sense of, like, we're not going anywhere romantically, but we both had so much fun that we just, like, had a long dinner and conversation. And then at the end of the night, I kind of, like, I don't know, like, pumped my chest, like, peace out, man, you know? And he said something like, if you want to get together for a play date. And I was like, no, I don't do that. I don't have guy friends. You know, I'm not looking for friends. I'm looking for marriage.
And Jesus.
So peace out, homie. But I quickly came to find out that it is really hard when you're in your 30s and you have kids and you've been previously married to, like, even find somebody that you can have, like, a compelling conversation with.
How did you circle back then?
Oh, well, I went on a whole bunch of other first dates. My mom had me, before I did Match, I just have to say, my mom, I guess, was so nervous about me finding a husband again that she made me sign up for a dating service.
Like, does this still exist?
Yes! Like, in 2015 or whatever it was, it still existed, even though, like, these things hadn't been needed since, like, what, 1995? And so I went, and I met that they make you go in person. She's like, I heard about it on the newspaper, and they say it's great. So you should go. And...
Were you like, I don't think so, or...
No, I went. Like, I guess I felt so like, oh my God, I don't know what I'm doing.
And she did read about it on the newspaper.
She heard about it on the newspaper, possibly the radio. And so I went, and then get this. Then they, like, they pressure sales you. So you go in, and she literally had, like, a photo album, like, peel and stick the photos. And these are successful couples. And, I mean, they're all, like, 50-plus. And I'm, like, I don't know, 34, 33. And I'm just like... And so she gives you the sales pitch, the owner, and she's like, well, if you sign up now, it'll be this price. But if you leave and sign up later, it'll basically be double the price.
What is the going rate
for... I'm talking, like, over $1,000.
That is so crazy.
And so I was like, I didn't know what to do. So I literally called my mom from her office, and I was like, Mom,
are you sponsoring this?
She says it'll be this much if I sign up now. But this much if I think about it and come back later. What should I do? And so my mom's basically like, sign up and I'll pay. And I was like, okay.
I put you on with my mom for the credit card.
God, it was so awful.
So, what were those dates like?
So basically the seven other people under the age of 50 who had signed up for this service in Richmond, Virginia, all got, like, funneled to me. It was pointless to even tell you they didn't meet my criteria because we were the only seven people who had signed up that were under the age of 50, so...
I need a vignette. Like, what's a snapshot of one of these dates?
Oh, God. Okay, the first guy... This is so sad. The first guy was a widower. He was definitely a good 10 years older than me. Okay. I felt like I was having lunch with my boss.
So awkward, like, formal.
He felt older.
Yeah.
I just...
The connection wasn't there.
There was no connection.
And this is before meeting Nick.
This is before meeting Nick.
Okay.
So, like, that was just uncomfortable. I know people meet and get married of different ages.
Yeah.
But, like, I met my ex-husband in grad school, so we were, like, the same age. And I hadn't dated outside of college. So, like, meeting somebody even, like, 5 years older felt weird, you know? And it could have just been that we didn't have anything in common, but he felt older. And so that just wasn't good. And then I'm not even sure... I went on other dates from that dating service because it was so bad, Jessica. Like, she would call and give me the information. And then it would just be like, this guy, I would get basic stats and I'd be like, well, that's not anything for what I'm looking for, you know? Like, and I don't want to sound like a snob, but it was just like, you know, basic things like age, religion.
Can you imagine,
like,
if you had paid the $1,000?
Oh, my God. Oh, mama. It was just not good. And... I think it was supposed to pay for, like, three dates for, like, $1,000 or something. And I think I went on that one. And then, like, one guy, like, stood me up or something. And then the other guy, like, I was like, he's nothing what I'm looking for. Like, he's, like, very different from what I told you I was interested in.
So did you want to find someone who also potentially had a child or children?
I wasn't married to that idea. I wasn't. I think I kind of expected it. So after going through the, like, 1995 dating service, I got on Match, like a normal person. It's like, I don't know, my head was buried under the sand or something. I don't even know how my mom convinced me to do that. But I guess I felt pressure. And...
Well, it was also half the price. You left the office.
I can't go over a good deal, a sale. You gotta seize that sale when it's available. So I went on Match, and you quickly realize, like, it would have been hard to connect with somebody who'd never been married before, let alone had never had kids. You know, you're just...
It's a different world.
Completely different worlds. Although I will say, when Nick and I broke up for our short hiatus, I went out with a guy who was like 4 years younger, never been married, never had kids. And I was like, this could work. There is pros and cons to both, but I think it's harder to find somebody who's willing to do that. Yeah. Like, once you get on the online sites, if you see a guy that's never been married before, like, they're looking at girls 10 years younger, you know, like, if they're in their 30s.
Yeah, like maybe someone that wants to have multiple children. Or...
Yeah, like, and they're like, not everybody, but I would say the guys that don't have kids are like, well, I'll just marry somebody still in their 20s, and then I'll basically get, like, a do-over of the last 10 years and have kids, you know, and whatever. So that's fair kind enough. Of like a stereotype. That's a harsh stereotype. But I would say a lot of people are looking for somebody younger for a guy if they've never been married, right?
And you and Nick are about the same age.
And Nick and I are the same age, yeah. So we met on Match, had that one date, but then I was like, you have red flags, buddy. I'll see you later. And but then I went on other first dates, and they all just, like, sucked. Like,
as gregarious as
I literally was like, I am never going to want to kiss a guy again. Like, aww. I didn't even want to kiss. Like, I was like, there was nothing.
So then did you, like, hit Nick back up?
So
like,
then I was on Tinder. I've come a far way since my...
at least it wasn't Grindr.
Thank you, Jessica. Yeah. Keeping it classy on Tinder. And I saw his picture, but I swiped quickly no. Hmm. And to, like, get a do-over, you have to, like, pay money. And I was like, well, I don't want to do that. So then I, like, kept thinking about it. And I was like, how do I find this guy again?
And you didn't know where he worked after the first
date? Well, I knew where he worked. So I tried to find him on Meetup because he'd mentioned Meetup and I couldn't find him. Or maybe I did, but I couldn't figure out how to contact him. And so when we went on our first date, I was also looking for jobs, you know, like whatever.
Two birds, one stone.
Yeah, I was networking and always possible. I was like, I don't get out much, so if you can offer me
a
job, I will gladly take them. So I was like, oh, you work at this company? Well, I'm very interested in working for that company. Can I send you my resume?
OMG.
And so I don't know if I got his email there, but I emailed him my resume. And also, at the same time, I was like, and if you can't get me a job at your company, you said you also volunteer here. I also do photography currently. I would gladly do some photography for that service. If you can hook me up there, that would be great, too. So I went back, like 7 months later, I go back to my email. And
Seven months later?
It was like 7 months later. I found my email where I'd emailed him my resume, and he, like, emailed me back, oh, yeah, okay, well, you know, I'll see what I can do.
We need his side of the story at some point.
We definitely do. So I go back to his work email. Oh, okay, well, so before I emailed him again, I went on, like, my first round of, like, two dates. Like, I was like, okay, I guess I like this guy enough to go on a second date. Funny enough, his last name was also Peterson, which is a little weird. But, and he didn't even live in Richmond. And so basically I realized, like, he wasn't that into me. And I was mad. I was like, how dare he not be into me, you know? Like, I barely am into you. So I was like... So I felt, I guess, scorned. What's the word?
Yeah, there you go. Scorned.
Scorned?
Yeah. You were a woman scorned.
I was a woman scorned. I was like, how dare you? I don't even know if Nick knows this. So I'm at home. I'm feeling all emotional. And I call my sister and I'm like, I'm thinking about emailing that Nick guy again because this other guy doesn't like me. And
he might have a job for me.
Things could work out one way or the other. So, what do you think? And I swear, to my sister's credit, if she hadn't told me to email him, I might not have. Like, I needed some backup support.
She gave you a push.
And she did. She was like, okay, which kind of looking back at it, I'm like, I can't believe she did that. But she was like, okay, do it. And I was like, okay, I will. So I get on my computer and I write like the corniest email of all time. I'm like,
oof, I can't imagine.
To his work email address. I'm like, so Nick, remember me? Like, when we went out before, I wasn't really like ready to match. Like, I used a stupid term like that. And I was like, but now I am. So if you're ready to like get some coffee or something, let me know. Something really cheesy like that.
And he took the bait.
Well, he waited 4 days to reply. And I was like, I was so nervous because I was like, oh no, this is a company I want to get a job at.
So you
I
don't just even keep checking your email compulsively.
I don't know if he still works there. They flagged me as like some like
stalker.
Yeah, like don't hire this chick. She's like emailing this guy at work for a date. Like this is crazy. Like red flag her. So he finally writes back. And it's like, oh yeah, I remember our date. It's being a good one, but I got the impression that I wasn't what you were looking for, but, you know, like, happy to get back together or whatever. So I actually think we were supposed to get together for, like, brunch or something, and then he canceled on me because he gave me some, like, lame story of picking up a guy from an airport or something. But the only reason I was okay with it was because I was actually sick.
Oh.
And I was like, how dare he? But I am disgusting right now, so I guess that'll be better for me.
Better for everyone.
And so we rescheduled for dinner, which, you know, I was like, yeah, you should take me to dinner.
Did you ever, like, break your wallet out at the end of any dates? Or was it clear, like?
I think the guy always paid. Yeah.
So was the dinner, like, transformative, where you're like, I do like him, or...
So, we went to dinner, and...
You gotta set the scene. Where'd you go to dinner?
We went to this cute little Belgian restaurant really close to his house, and there was nobody there, because it was a weeknight. I think there was, like, one other couple. We were in the corner booth.
Sounds very intimate.
It was very intimate. I feel like I walked in, I saw him, and, like, we both knew it was gonna be different this time. Because, basically, I was saying...
I mean, you started off the date with, I like you now.
Yeah, I mean, basically, like, he knew, like, I was interested. I wanted to try things out romantically. Mm-hmm. And...
probably had a boost of confidence from that.
Yeah, I think he was like, I know you like me, or you're interested in me. And so it was like, it was kind of like we were both on board from the moment I walked in the restaurant.
Yeah.
Like, I was definitely more nervous. I remember being like, can you ask some questions? Do I have to carry the conversation? But it went great. Like, you know, by, like, our third date, we were, like, going steady.
Aww,
had, like, gone to Friendly's, and he gave me his varsity jacket and ring.
Seriously?
Seriously.
I thought you were joking.
No,
that really happened.
No, well, we did get a friendly. We were like, and see, that was a beautiful thing of like dating somebody your age, of like,
you have the same nostalgia.
Yeah, same nostalgia. And so.
So it was right.
It was totally right. And it just worked. And we just clicked, and our kids all got along great. And so that was a blessing. And like our kids were the same.
What happened at that Thanksgiving? What's the break?
Dating is hard. It comes with a lot of emotional turmoil. We had kind of like a false start a little bit where, I guess we started dating like in February.
Yeah.
And by the summertime, Nick was like, can I take you ring shopping? Wow. And in his mind, that was him just, like, testing the waters.
What?
But he asked it, like, 4 times, like, right before we went on a vacation to Charleston, South Carolina. So in my mind, after he'd said it, like, multiple times, I was like, oh, he's serious, and we're about to go on a trip, so maybe we'll go to a ring shop while we're in Charleston. No, we did not. And so, like, the last night we're in Charleston, and I
just
was...
Just the two of you.
Yeah, just the two of us. Like, I'm like, a mess, too. Like, it's... I don't know. I feel like it's hard to be sane when you're dating and you have kids and you have all this pressure where you don't want to, like... You don't want to be dating the wrong person. You don't want to, like, put your kids through this stuff, you know? Because, like, our kids have met. Like... you know, very quickly, like, our kids are looking at us like a parental figure, you know, like a significant person in their life.
So it's not the same timeline as if you had just met him.
No, like, you just feel all this, like, heightened emotions.
What are we doing here?
There's extra attachment being built. Yeah, and you just feel like... And, you know, you're, like, in your 30s, you're like, I don't want to, like, screw around for 5 years, you know? Like, I don't have that luxury or that time. I'm living with my parents. Like, I got to make...
I got to get out of here.
I got to make good decisions and quickly. And I don't know, for all, even for all that, for being, like, I want to be an independent woman, like, there's still part of you that's just like, I want to be in love and I don't want to be alone. Like, it's, for as much as my parents did for me, like, it still felt really lonely, you know? So yeah, he was like, let's go ring shopping. Then the last night we're in Charleston, we're watching like The Notebook and we like stopped it. And I was like, so what's happening? I feel like I'm just waiting around for you to propose.
Yeah. Well, he did mention ring shopping multiple times.
Okay, thank
you. To your credit, yeah.
And he was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you just said that. Like, basically you've ruined everything. And I was like,
seriously? Ouch.
He didn't say you ruined everything, but he was kind of like, how could you bring up the conversation of getting engaged? Like, we barely know each other. It's all too soon. And now you've, like, kind of ruined it.
Oh, while you're on this couple's vacation.
Yes. And I was like, mortified. Needless to say, the trip back from Charleston wasn't a good one. And then we had, like, a rocky fall. Like, it was hard to recover from that. And so, like, to his credit, I did, like, come back and be like, you know what? I don't even know if I'm ready to get engaged. I just got kind of, like, swept up in, like, being in love. And, you know, it was also easy. Like, my parents were taking care of my kids. He had his daughter half the time. So we had all this, like... It was easy to feel, like, 10 years younger and just, like, swept up in it all. And, but I was like, I don't even know what I'm doing. Like, I should be more careful with my feelings and making sure I'm making the right decision. But, so it was confusing, and it was still, basically, we'd gotten to that point where, even though it was fast, we did need to decide, are we going to get married or not? Because you just can't sustain that, like, closeness with kids involved, you know what I mean? It just...
So you both felt the pressure to, like...
Yeah, we basically, like, finally went to a therapist who was terrible, but he did say, like, you just need to decide whether or not you want to be married.
So did you think, like, or do you think that there's, like, a soulmate, or do you think that, like, you just find someone that you do love and you make it work, or what do you think about all that?
I think you can make it work with more than one person. What do you think?
I think so, too.
Yeah, because I think in the end, like, love becomes a real choice and a decision you make.
Yeah.
Like, every day. Like, every day I'm going to choose to love you, like, serve you, like, put your interests...
care so much about you and our future. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And, like, you know, and not just choose me, you know? Like, I'm going to choose what's best for you, too. And, like, that's going to be hard. And I'm going to choose to love you even when you have grumpy days or sick days or bad days or and the good days. So...
So how did you go from, like, so you tend, it sounds like you had this kind of blowout and then this, like, reparative time?
So, yeah, we sort of, like, smoothed things over, but it was still just kind of, like, rocky. And I don't think that's abnormal. It was just kind of, like...
Well, you thought you'd broken up.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I mean, it was kind of, like, we didn't break up after the summer... But then we went through multiple phases over the fall where I was kind of like, we broke up, we're not broken up, like, I want to get married, he doesn't want to get married, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I won't, it's not, I'm not blaming him, it was just a hard place, and his life would significantly change
to
take on a wife with two kids, full-time You know, like, he had his one daughter 50% of the time. And so, like, it was, like, a really life-altering decision. So it was a rocky fall. And Thanksgiving, we had, like, our official breakup right before Thanksgiving. Hmm. But it was good. Like, it was good that we broke up for real, because then he had, like, space of, like, what is life like without this person and her kids, you know? Do I like this life without her, or do I not like it? And it also happened, like, it was holidays, so he saw this jewelry commercial where they're like, buy this ring with two diamonds because she's your lover and your best friend. And,
well, that's, like, all literally,
that's all he needed. Like, he was, like, he was, like, crying over this commercial and, like, she really did love me. Yeah. And I'm like, thank God it was the holidays. And he saw the, like,
glad he watched TV
cheesy Zales commercial or whatever, like, sappy Zales commercial. Thank you, Zales, or whoever it was.
We will take your sponsorship.
I still don't have that ring. But literally he emailed me, and then I think it mentioned the jewelry commercial, and was like, can we talk? And I was just like, yes. So we had a conversation 2 weeks later after breaking up,
and then you were like,
and then, like, 2 weeks after that, we were engaged.
Whoa.
We couldn't sustain the dating for a long time. And it was hard to date for a short time and get married. But I don't know... I don't know how it would have been possible to have a longer dating life with kids involved.
Because you didn't, like, share a home.
Right.
Or anything
we didn't
like
share
that.
A home. And he didn't actually want to. He had done that previously and thought, I actually like your way better. I don't think we should move in until,
you're,
you know,
married?
We want to get married. Because then we're like, then it doesn't just happen by default, you know? Like, then you're, like, really making the choice.
Yeah.
And we probably, to be honest, wouldn't even have gotten married if we had lived together first. Because it was so difficult.
Yeah.
Like, to move in and have three kids all of a sudden, like...
Yeah, I can't imagine.
Let alone be difficult people to live with ourselves, you know? Like, neither
we
one
were
of,
difficult, they were difficult.
Neither one of us is the laid-back person in the relationship. So we've got two non-laid-back people, like, we would have not done well living together.
But fast forward all these years, and it seems like everything is really so loving.
Oh, yeah, I am so blessed to be married to him. But it is, I mean, it's still, like, hard at times. But yeah, so, like, that's the whole story of how, like, Thanksgiving is, like, our nemesis holiday.
And was the proposal, like, Christmas Day?
Christmas Day, in front of the whole family and the kids.
Did you see it coming that day?
Oh, yeah. I wore my special sweater.
the good sweater.
I knew he had gone and talked to my parents. Like, when we had our, like, get-back-together conversation, he was like, I almost went to the store and bought you a fake diamond ring. And I was like, oh, why didn't you?
I want my fake diamond ring.
So I was like, I mean, I think I didn't even tell people we got back together until he proposed. I was like, I'm not doing this again. Like, you pull out that diamond or I'm out of here. Like,
fair enough.
We can't do this. But it was very sweet.
That's quite a story you got there.
It was a story. So I survived the whole, like, dating service and online dating. And
so do you have any advice for, like, the people?
I think I have advice.
There?
If anybody wants to talk dating with me, I know we joked about being wing women, but
I still would enjoy that.
I am there. Like, I tried joining the rec leagues with all the young single people and playing dodgeball. Like, I put myself out there, Jessica. I went to the UVA reunions and, like, flirted with guys literally 10 years younger than me. And then I was like, what am I doing? Like, this is never going to work. Like,
yes, I have kids. Oh, man.
So, yeah, it all worked out. And maybe we should be like, what's the movie? Skipping Christmas. Christmas is the Cranks. Maybe we should just skip Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
But,
just skip
or maybe
over
next
that
year,
one.
Thanksgiving will be our year.
I don't know. I don't have any advice, but it sounds like quite a story, is all I got. It is kind of amazing. Yeah. And you got like a formal proposal with your chosen sweater and everything.
So I did. I was in my special pink sweater. It was at Christmas. It was beautiful. So speaking of Christmas,
I feel like we follow the kids' lead a little bit with like both Hanukkah and Christmas, is that they both seem to like decorations and that kind of stuff much more than Pat and I do. We're very minimalist.
Decorations.
Yeah. So like
the outdoor stuff especially.
I just can't even go there. That's like too overwhelming to me. But we
literally, I'm sorry to interrupt. We pass these houses with lights outside, and David goes, I wish I lived there with the beautiful outdoor lights. And then Nick and I are like, that's it. We're going to Chevy Chase this up. Like, whatever you want, buddy, because we want you to want to live with us.
Well, we pass those houses, and we're like, imagine the electric bill. Like, what if you're the neighbor and all you see is this bright light? Imagine the frustration. I don't know. We see
you
the negative.
You are Todd and Elaine. What's your name in the movie in Christmas Vacation?
Oh.
I don't know. Margo. You're Todd and Margo.
I might be.
Do you not know what I'm talking about?
I remember the movie, but wait, the National Lampoon.
Yes.
Okay, I need to see
with
it again.
Elaine from Seinfeld.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, aren't you a tiny bit sad we didn't get a Christmas tree? And they do nothing, and then, like,
that's
Chevy
more
Chase
my style. I'm very minimalist, but my children are not. They're very maximalist. So, like, we have a ton of Hanukkah decorations that a coworker gave us. And the girls...
Is everything blue and silver?
Yes.
Why?
Because those are the colors.
Do you ever feel a little bit like, why can't I have more colors to my Hanukkah?
I enjoy blue and silver, but I think the girls like that there's Christmas, too. Well, mostly we have Hanukkah decorations just because that's, like, what people gave us. And they really like putting it all over the house.
Okay,
and does look nice.
What are Hanukkah decorations? I mean, I've seen, like the short...
Yeah,
I've seen
like,
the small selection at Target.
Like, little dreidel.
Okay.
Like, flags and things. We have pin the tail in the dreidel.
Okay.
We have,
like, you have tinsel and stuff that you wrap it around? Yeah. It's like blue and silver.
So, you could do that, but because we celebrate both Hanukkah and Christmas, they have also, like, the little Christmas trees that are, like, mostly silver that they've put all over our house. We have, like, these tiny little fake Christmas trees littering the house.
Merging
and then, like, Hanukkah stuff everywhere, which is basically, like, we have, like, Hanukkah towels and Hanukkah menorahs. And just like Hanukkah stuff everywhere, like a table liner, just things you don't really need.
I can see that.
It's fun. Yeah, like it does make the house feel. I'm not one to do it, but I do appreciate it.
Well, I just like how Christmas, like, it's not just red and green anymore. Like, if you're a pink girl, you can go to Target and get, like, the Opal House line, and it'll be, like, pink and gold and white, you know?
Is that the Target brand, Opal House?
Yeah, it's one of their brands. It's, like, the bohemian kind of home decor. And so my whole point being, like, I feel like for Hanukkah, you should be able to have more than just blue and silver.
Because you should be able to have whatever
you want. No matter what your color scheme is, you can have a black and white Christmas. You can, you know what I mean? Like, whatever.
That's true.
Like, I feel like it comes in any color flavor you want.
Yes.
But I haven't perused the Hanukkah very deeply, but
it's
whenever
minimal.
I see it, it seems like it's all blue and silver.
And it's slim pickings, it is. But Home Goods has a decent selection, and Target does, sort of.
Yeah.
But then we've got the computer stuff for Christmas, like you have Elf on the Shelf, and then you've got Mensch on the Bench. So we have our Hanukkah version of that, yeah.
So what is Mensch on the Bench?
Mensch is like a Yiddish word for like a good man. So it's like this old Jewish-looking man with like a beard, and he's like sitting down. So there's the
but
Elf on the Shelf.
Small.
And the, yeah. It's totally like, we know you wanted Elf on the Shelf. We get that you're Jewish. Here's your Mensch on the Bench.
Well, I just wanted to say that I did have a fail of the week real quick.
What you got?
And that was, I think Valley was one of two children in her class who didn't have a parent come and do the Thanksgiving meal with her at school. And so I'm not really sure how it went down, but from what I gathered, she and the one other kid who had nobody who loved them stayed back in the classroom with the teacher while everybody else went to some other area and ate a Thanksgiving banquet with their families.
Why do they do that?
I don't know. It's, like, first of all, I'm like, how, like, I love my child so much, and I am a good parent. How can I be, like, there was only one other parent that couldn't come in a class of 24 or something.
Well, we didn't go to our kids' delinquent? Classes. We didn't do it, and we didn't even think to do it. We're like, we are working. Oh, we love gosh. You girls, but we are working.
Mally was like, literally, she's like, I had Mally. To stay back in the classroom with, like, Joe or whatever.
Well, my
like,
girls kept their trauma to themselves.
Yeah. And pleased. I remember David, I've never been. We've sent grandparents in the past, and we just totally forgot this year because I had the flu, and I was just, like, out of it. And David, I remember last year David was like, another family let me sit with them.
Oh,
so I guess he was allowed to go last year and sit with another family. But this year they're like, if you don't have a parent, you're staying back in the classroom.
That's rough.
Okay, let's talk favorites. I love the Spanx from Target. I got turned on to them because I saw probably on people.com they told me that Kylie Jenner wore them. And I was like, well, if Kylie Jenner is wearing those Spanx from Target, then I certainly am.
So are they like undergarments or are they like pants?
No, they're like, well.
Leggings?
They're leggings. At home, I feel perfectly comfortable wearing them with like a short shirt or whatever.
Yeah.
When I try to wear it to work, I'm always like, ooh, I think I need to wear, like, a long shirt, or it's always, like, you know, iffy. And then, okay, I found a really good lip gloss I'm going to share. It's called Kosas, K-O-S-A-S. It's a lip oil. I got it from Sephora. It's green, like, clean beauty.
Nice.
And I got the color Malibu, which is, like, the standard pink color. And I really like it. It's, like, hydrating. I think it lasts longer than lip gloss. I think it's worth it. I feel like if you're gonna buy clean beauty at all, I mean, I guess, like, your foundation or whatever you put all over your face makes sense because there's a lot of that. But the next thing I would say is whatever you're putting on your mouth, like, you end up ingesting. So... Yes. That to me, like, even though it is expensive, it's worth it if that is a concern of yours.
Yeah. So, fair enough.
I love that. Okay. This one's dorky. I got a acne light pen. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I feel like I've seen
advertisements. Neutrogena sells it. I had to get it from Walmart because I could not get it online from Target. Even though I'm pretty sure it's in the store. Got it from Walmart.com. It's like $10. It's like blue and red light therapy. And it just shines like blue and red light right on your zit. And I'm pretty sure it worked. Like,
you're looking pretty flawless.
I have big old zit starting on my chin. And I get like the cystic acne, like the big underneath the chin that doesn't come to a head. Do you know what I mean?
The worst.
So like there's like no painful. Like you can put that topical crap on it over and over again and like it won't do anything.
It's the underbelly.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I used it and my chin's feeling really good. So I'm feeling really good about that. Everybody should go on Walmart and buy the $10 Neutrogena acne light pen. I will say, I know you don't like beauty products, but I love face mists. Did that come out clearly? Face mists?
I know what you're talking about.
Okay. I am currently using Glow Recipe's watermelon spray face mist.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think the very best is Claudalie Beauty Elixir. They sell it at Sephora. It probably feels indulgent, but, like, it is the perfect amount of spray. In the winter, my skin is so dry, and you can just spray it at work really quickly without having to, like, get out a mirror. You know what I mean?
It is nice to have those things that you feel like you're providing self-care.
Yeah.
Like, so easily with.
Yes, and it smells really good. I think the Beauty Elixir, the Claudalie, has a little bit more of, like, an herbal, strong smell to where, like, some people are, like, Nick is like, oh, what do you spray? That's terrible.
Why is the air toxic suddenly?
Yeah, but, like, you know, I have a coworker who's like, what are you spraying? Is that, like, lemongrass? I'm like, I don't know. I'm feeling a little self-conscious. The watermelon is very subtle, or, like, I think everybody likes watermelon. But I'll just say, I think everybody should try that. Thanks for joining us today as we recounted yet another Thanksgiving marked by mishaps, family tension, a lack of cooking, and relief that we didn't have to host. Cheers! We hope Nick and Libby's dating story entertained and encouraged you, and reminded you how grateful you are to be or not be dating. Wink, wink. If you like what you hear, please share the Oh Mama podcast with your friends and family. Don't forget to subscribe, and please leave a review on Apple Podcasts. We'd love to hear from you. Tell us about your Thanksgiving mishaps or dating adventures. You can find us at Oh Mama Podcast, that's OHMOMMA, with Libby and Jess on Instagram and Facebook. Bye, everyone.